We are in Yud Beis, Amud Beis. The Gemara just brought a brisa, a machloikus from Meir de Rabbanon, whether we allow, I'm learning like Rashi now, whether we allow a woman, three women, meaning either a katana between 11 and 12, or a muberes, or a menika, a woman that's nursing, to have relationships with her husband, and insert, the way Rashi learns, and insert a moich is a piece of material, that basically blocks pregnancy, avoids pregnancy. Is it mutter or asr? Rameir says it's mutter, and the Rabbanan said, since normal people, regular people, don't do this protection, so this goes into the getter of Shemer Psoim Hashem, that Hashem guards people that are foolish, which is, I don't want to get involved in whether I'm politically correct or not, but Shemer Psoim Hashem means that if the world behaves in a certain fashion, it's not a dangerous behavior. It's only dangerous if many people are careful and one person's not careful. For instance, I don't want to pick examples that'll get me into trouble, but let's say seatbelts. Today, one can make an argument that seatbelts is a necessity because everybody is careful in seatbelts. Most people are careful in seatbelts. But 50 years ago, the people didn't wear seatbelts, so it was not considered unsafe to drive without seatbelts because Shem Rebsoim Hashem. That's the way of the world. The Rabbanu Shalom watches that the way of the world is not unsafe. If a lot of people are careful, and it becomes more and more prevalent to be careful, then the Shem Rebsoim Hashem is not there anymore. So that's basically the concept. So the Rabbanan are saying, since most people aren't protecting themselves when they're ketanas, menikas, and muberes, therefore there's no heter to do it, because it's not a dangerous activity, because Shem Rebsoim Hashem. Now, that doesn't mean it never happens that a ketana would get pregnant and die, but it means it's not something that one has to worry about, because if it happens, it happens, but it's not something that's going to be a prevalent damage. That's the idea. Dr. Gemara Weiter. So the kasha is as follows. We are now to find where we are. You go across Shaisa Shema Tasa Ubra Sando, and you go down three lines. Two lines. Michlau. Michlau, the Ikik Tana de Miabra Veloy Mesa. I'm sorry, the line before that, which is a line under Shema Tasa Ubra Sando. Midikamar Shemet Tisabra Veshemet Hamas. If you notice, the Brisa was worried about Ketana. It said she might become pregnant and she might die. That means not every Ketana that becomes pregnant dies. A, she might become pregnant, and B, if she becomes pregnant, she might die. That was the Lashon of the Brisa. Shemet Tisabra Veshemet Hamas. Mechlal, the Ike Ketana de Miabra Veloy Mesa. That means there can be a Ketana that becomes pregnant and doesn't die. Now, if that's true, so we can find a chamaisai that does mean. The Mishnah had said that if a person, his brother, marries one of his ervas, right, and she did mean, then the brother died, then tsaras erva would not be usher, because at the time of the death, it's not a tsaras erva. Then the Mishnah said, you can never have a mother-in-law do mian. Meaning, Reuven's mother-in-law cannot be married to Shimon. Because Reuven's mother-in-law cannot be married to Shimon because she had a child. And if she had a child, she's past the age of mian, because she must have been 12 when she had the child. But theoretically, now we're saying a woman can have a child at 11. And at 11, she's still a ketana that can do mian. And she can have a child, right? And Reuven does kedushin to that 5-day-old baby. The father can be makabel kedushin at any age. So the baby is born. Reuven does kedushin. The father of the baby accepts kedushin for his infant baby. And Shimon is married to this infant baby's mother. And then Shimon dies without children, and Reuven's mother-in-law comes to Yibum, and theoretically, when she gets to be about 4 or 5, she understands what's going on, she can do Mion. Or she can do miyun, right? So the Mishnah says chamoitze can never be mamayan, because chamoitze is never of an age to do miyun, and if we say that Tana could have a baby without dying, so chamoitze theoretically could do miyun. So why did the Mishnah say the chamoitze is impossible? And our Mishnah said, those three can't be an islanders. Well, that's obviously because they're their mother-in-law or grandmother-in-law. They must have had children, but they can't have miyun. B'chayra, they could have a case of miyun. Rashi. Let's go to Rashi. Midkamer Shevetamus. But like Kamer Vitamus, it doesn't say that a Ketana who gets pregnant will die. Does have a Mashmashim to Saber Tamas Madai. Then it would have seemed that if she gets pregnant, she will for sure die. Matinu Chamaisim Amanas. And she old the Bekatnas Betex Mano Amar Lamaila, Shnas Yud Beis. She gave birth during the 12th year, meaning when she was 11. She is Abra Veloy Mesa. She became pregnant and didn't die. The Kiddush Adam, Kiddush Achiv, it's supposed to be, as Bita. And the brother was Mekadesh, her daughter. Right, so Shimon was married to mom, and Ruvay married the daughter as an infant, married through, the Kiddushin was accepted by the father, who's allowed to marry off his infant daughter. V'nimtza zayis chamoisik tana, v'ruyi l'mayin adud beishana, she can still do miyan. So theoretically, you can have a mother-in-law that does miyan, right? The mother-in-law can still do miyan, meaning not the girl does miyan, the mother-in-law does miyan. She can still walk away from Shimon's marriage, even though she had a daughter, and that daughter is married to Reuven, she can walk out because she is still under 12. So why does the Mishnah say a mother-in-law can never do miyan? A mother-in-law can do miyan if she's under 12, and it's possible for a girl to have a baby under 12. That's the Gemara's Kasha. And for the Gemara, yes.
Who's doing the evil here? I've lost the case.
Okay, so let me set it up better. Shimon is married to a woman, and they have an infant daughter. And then Shimon marries off that infant daughter to his brother Reuven. So Reuven is married to Shimon's daughter. Right? Then Shimon died, and now Shimon is married to that daughter's mother, who is all of 11. All of 11. Right? Now that girl can still do miyun in Shimon. Even though she had a daughter from Shimon, she can walk out of the marriage because she's under 12. Right? So she walks out of the marriage, then Shimon dies without children. Right? Again, the Braisa had said, again. The Braisa had said that it's dangerous for an 11-year-old to get pregnant because she might die. That's what it said. She might die. That means there's a chance she won't die. That means a girl 11 can have a baby. She's still 11. I'm sorry? I can't hear you. Shimon.
So he has a child. Why is there
Yibum? Oh, so if Shimon has a child, why there would be Yibum? So you would have to say that the father, you're right, you brought up a good case. The father of the baby must have been a stranger. She got divorced. You're right, let me set it up. I didn't think of that. It can't be Shimon had the baby because then there wouldn't be Yibum, right? So it has to be, she was married to somebody else at 11, had a daughter, got divorced, and married Shimon rabbinically. And then she can still do Mian, even though she had a daughter, and her daughter married Reuven. The father of that daughter accepted Kedushin from Shimon's brother. That's what you would have to say the case is. Right? That's what they say the case is. She had a daughter when she was 11, and then got divorced and remarried one of the brothers as an 11-year-old, rabbinically, and she can still do Mian. The Mishnah says that a mother-in-law can never do Mian because she has to be a Gdaila. Now we see you can have a mother-in-law that's still 11, and she could do Mian. I mean, a strange case, because she would have to get divorced after she had the baby. Or let's say it this way. She got divorced when she was pregnant. And then married Shimon, had the baby. The father was Mekabel Kedushin from Reuven, so Reuven's married to this infant baby. And then Reuven's mother-in-law can still do Mian. And the Mishnah said that the mother-in-law can never do Mian. That's the case. That would be the case. You're 100% right. It can't be that Shimon fathered this infant, because then there would be no Yibum. So obviously Shimon did not father the infant. Somebody else fathered the infant. And he divorced her, and she got married to Shimon. Now, there's a little bit of a problem here, because there's supposed to be a 3-month wait. But not really. It's machloikas. According to some Tanoim, there has to be a 3-month wait. According to the other Tanoim, if we know she's not pregnant, she just had an infant, so then this doesn't have to be a 3-month wait. But either way, she did marry Shimon. And the marriage was legal. Can I finish it? And the marriage was valid. And since the marriage was valid, she would fall to her daughter's husband, Libum. But she could still do Mian. That's the point we want to make. The Mishnah says a mother-in-law can never do Mian. We're asking that fact is not true. Yes, I'm sorry.
Does the Mian have to be within the family? I mean, the Mian she did is from Shimon. But she married illegally. If the father is a Nachri, and she doesn't mean to that father.
No. Let's try the case again. There's a lady here. Let's name her Sarah. Sarah was married to a Nachri, had a little infant girl. The father, Sarah's husband, divorced her. Sarah went and married Shimon. Sarah's infant daughter became married to Reuven. Father was Mekabel Kedushin. That means Reuven and Shimon are brothers. Shimon is married to mom, and Reuven is married to daughter. Right? And Shimon's wife is still only 11 and can do Mian. The Mishnah said a mother-in-law can never do Mian. I'm sorry? Yes.
If she already was once divorced, then she's no longer under the jurisdiction of her father or her...
Exactly. Father. That's why she got married... Exactly. She got married rabbinically to Shimon. And her daughter got married biblically to Reuven, because the baby's father accepted Kedusha from Reuven. So Reuven is married biblically to the baby, and Shimon is married rabbinically to the baby's mother, who can still do Mian, because she's still not 12. The Mishnah said a mother-in-law can never do Mian, because in essence a mother-in-law has to be over 12, because she had a baby, that means she's over 12. What we're asking is, we see from this Bryce that 11-year-olds can have babies and can still do Mian. We're asking, the Mishnah said, mother-in-laws can never do Mian, because mother-in-laws have to be over 12. If not, they can't have babies. This Bryce said, a girl can have a baby at 11. So you can have a mother-in-law that does Mian, even though she has a daughter already. So why does the Mishnah say that a mother-in-law can never do Mian? That's the question. Zakh to Gemara. And for the Gemara, You're right. The Braita doesn't mean she might get pregnant and then she might die. She might get pregnant and she will die. As Rabbi Bar Levoy said, Gvul Yeshva. There is a boundary. There is a word Gvul. I think it means a boundary here. It's a boundary.
Yeah,
there's a
place. Place
versus
boundary.
Right. Before 11, can't get pregnant. During the 12th year, meaning after she's 11, she dies for Ubrames. They both die. She dies, and her child and her baby will die. When she's 12, he chayev Ubrachai. She will live, and her baby will live. So therefore, you're right. The bride that had said she might get pregnant and she might die, the bride meant to say she might get pregnant and will die. Rashi. I'm sorry? So the Gemara is changing the Braisa. The Gemara is saying that it's not Shema Tisaber B'Shema Tamus, but the Braisa means to say it's one suffix. She might get pregnant and therefore might die. You don't have to take out the word Shema. You say she might get pregnant and therefore might die automatically. Like the Braisa saying, she might get pregnant, and she therefore might die. Meaning, if she gets pregnant, she will definitely die. It means to say, she might get pregnant and die. The Braisa expresses itself, she might get pregnant and therefore might die. It's like a result of the first one. Rashi.
She didn't say maita.
What?
She didn't say maita.
You're right, but that's what we're answering. You're right, that's what the Havamina was, and the answers were saying, the Braisa meant to say, she might get pregnant and therefore might die. Automatically. Rashi. Shematzinu chamaisim emanis. Kegon sheol de mekatnus v'teks man amr l'mayr l'vishnas yud beiz. She got gave birth during the 12th year. She was abra v'loy meisa. She got pregnant and didn't die. The kiddush achav v'smitov v'nimtzaz v'es chamaisim k'tanev v'ruy l'mayr l'yud beishonam. Before 11, that is the Gemara's answer. Frek the Gemara, ain't but Tana Rabbi Bar Shmuel. Rabbi Bar Shmuel said in the Braisa, "Iata yachal loymer b'chamoisa ve'im chamoisai ve'im chamav shenim tu islandes ayshemiyenu shekvar yoldu." The Braisa explained that the reason a mother-in-law can't do miyan is because she gave birth. Right? That's mashma that had nothing to do with age. It's not, if the fact is that no 11-year-old can have a living baby, like we just said, then the Braisa should say you can't have a mother-in-law doing miyan because a mother-in-law can never give birth as a tana. It doesn't say that. It says the reason a mother-in-law can't give miyan is because she gave birth. Mashma, it's not an age factor, but it's a physical factor. Giving birth disqualifies from Mian. And the question is why? If she's 11, why is giving birth disqualified from Mian? If the way we gave an answer was, you'll never have an 11-year-old have a living baby. So then what the Bryson should say is, Chamoise and Aim Chamoisei cannot do Mian, can't be found in idleness because they gave birth. And they can't do Mian because it'll never happen that an 11-year-old has a baby. But here it says, the reason an 11-year-old can't do Mian is because she gave birth. That seems to say that birthing, giving birth, is in itself a disqualifier for Mian. And the question is why? She's not 12. She's not a Gdaila. Dr. Gemara, you're right. Eluli Yailam Shematisabra V'Shema Thomas. You're right. It's that she might get pregnant, and pregnancy might cause a death, like we thought originally. Alakashahach. So then why does the Mishnah say Chamoisa can't do Mian? Amar Rav Safra, Bonim Harehem Kesimanim. Giving birth is as if she became a Gdaila. Meaning, usually we say a woman becomes a Gdaila at 12, which stays Saras. Now we're saying there's a new way for a woman to become a Gdaila. Giving birth at 11 makes her a Gdaila right away. Her giving birth makes her a Gdaila. So it's, you're right. It's the giving birth that disqualifies her from Mian. Giving birth makes it as if she just turned 12. She could have given birth at 11 and 7 months. But now she's a Gdaila, even though she never turned 12. Giving birth is another way of achieving godless. Usually we say maturity kicks in at an age together with a development of Shnei Saris. The Gemara is now saying that maturity can kick in by the act of giving birth. Rashi? So to Rashi, Harehen Kisumanim, Harechikvar Yoldu, Mudatala Time of Vlad, Mechladik Tani, she's a Ktana. The Ilak Tani, listen to Shikvar Godlu, should say they're already older. Because she's not a ktana. She might be a ktana in age, but the minute she gave birth, she became a gdaila.
There are those that say that children are even more than developing to Cyrus after 12. It is a greater sign of maturity. And what difference does it make? Mature is mature. A gdaila is a gdaila. Who cares if it happens at 12 and Tusaris or with children? What do you mean it's better? The Maynath Kamina, the Afilul Reb Yehuda, the Amr Achiyir Ba'ashokher, the Banam Maida. There's a man, the Amr Masechtas Nida, that says that a woman can do Mion until there's more than two hairs. Let me explain. Biblically speaking, the marriage we're dealing with is a rabbinic marriage. The marriage does not turn biblical until she consummates the marriage after she turned 12 and got two hairs. Because until then, there was no new act of kedushin. Right? He made kedushin to her when she was 10. He was living to her with her as a rabbinic wife, perfectly legal rabbinically. What happens is when she turns 12, and then he lives with her, at that moment, the marriage turns from rabbinic to biblical, because he has just done an act of kedushin by living with her after she's 12. So that turns the marriage into a biblical marriage. What happens if they didn't consummate the marriage afterwards? He got married to her at 10, she turned 12, and they haven't lived together yet. So she's still only married rabbinically. But the Rabbana came along and said, we don't allow me in anymore. Because once she turns 12, we don't allow me in. It's not a biblical marriage, it's a rabbinic marriage. But still, once she turns 12, we're not going to say, did you have a relationship with her? Did you not? We're going to take away the possibility of Mion the minute she turns 12 and develops two hairs. After that, no more Mion. She might not be married biblically yet. They didn't live together. But there's no more Mion. Rabbi Yehuda says not true. If they didn't live together, it remains a rabbinic marriage, and that she can still do Mion. Until there's a lot of hairs in her private area. If she gets a lot of hairs then the Rabbana remove the option of Mion. Means according to Rabbi Yehuda, a girl can be 12 and have Shnei Saris, but she never lived with her husband after she turned 12, so she's still only rabbinically married, and she can do Mion. Ad Shiyar B'Hashochar, until the area looks darker, meaning the hairs have already made the area look darker, right? A young girl has no hair. It's completely white. And then when the hair grows, it turns darker. So you have to have that the darker looks more than the white. Whatever that means, the Gemara gets involved in Masechtas Nida. Dr. Gemara, the Bonin Maida. However, Rabbi Yehuda would agree. If she had a child, that made her a Gedaila, and Rabbanan would remove the option of Yibum, of Mion, even though she's not, they never consummated the marriage. It was still a rabbinic marriage. Even though Rabbi Yehuda says she can continue doing Mion after she turns 12 and two simanim, two hairs, till she either consummates the marriage, which is biblical, or Yarba Hashokha, when the Rabbanan removed the option of Mion, by children, he agrees. The minute she has a child, no more option of Yibum. Of Mion. Because the child is a greater sign of maturity than having Shtei Saris. And therefore the Rabbanan would remove the option of Mion as soon as she has a child. Rashi? Vafilu Rabbi Yehuda de Amar. Bemsechtas Nida. Ad Mishaviya Shtei Saris Memanas. She can be Mayan even after she brings the two hairs. Achiyarba Hashokha Shiyisham Saris Harba. There should be a lot of hair. It looks darkish already. The area looks already that it's dark. More black than white. Right? still, she tells that she can do Mian, because again, they didn't consummate, they didn't have a relationship that would turn it biblical, still rabbinic, but if she has a child, Rabbi Yehuda agrees that even though it's still rabbinic, they removed the option of Mian. That's what Adifi Misimana means. Better than Simanim. There's a famous story. The Gemara says that if a person has a daughter first, it's a good siman for him. Bas chila siman yafa labanim. If a person has a daughter first, it's a good siman. So somebody once had a daughter. So he said, oh, it's a good siman. So somebody told him, banim adifim isabanim. Having a son is better than a siman. It's a joke, it's not meant seriously, but it's using this Gemara that sons are better than simanim. It's just a joke. Rav Zid Amar, ain banim b'loy simanim. Rav Zid says another fact. He says that, okay, let me explain. There's a machloikis in Masechtas Nidah. If a woman develops shtei saris during her 12th year, meaning after she turns 11, before she turns 12. Now, we always operate under the assumption that till she turns 12, nothing counts. She cannot become a gdaila till she turns 12 and develops shtei saris. What if she develops shtei saris during the 12th year? So it's a machloikis in Masechtas Nidah. One man the Amar says that if she develops shtei saris during the 12th year, she becomes a gdaila earlier. That means a woman can turn into a gdaila at any time between the age of 11 and 12. Regular girl doesn't develop shtei saris till 12. Some girls develop it early. So one man the Amar says if they develop it early, it doesn't count. The other man the Amar says no. In the year before 12, that year, if she develops shtei saris, she becomes a gdaila early. She becomes a gdaila early. The same thing is true by a boy. A boy becomes a gadol when he turns 13, and biblically he has to develop shtei saris. What if he develops shtei saris before 13, during his 13th year, being when he's 12? So it's a machloikas. One man the Amar says it doesn't count, he's not 13. One man the Amar says it does count, he becomes a gadol earlier. We paskin that it doesn't count. Rav Zvid holds it does count. So Rav Zvid saying, it's not the children that make maturity. The only sign of godless is shtei saris. But if she has a child at 11, that means she developed saris early. That's what it tells us. An 11-year-old girl cannot have a child without having developed shtei saris. So automatically, she became a gdaila before she gave birth. So your kasha was that an 11-year-old can give birth and do mian? The answer is, she can give birth and she can't do mian because she became a gdaila already. Because it's impossible for the girl to have given birth without having developed shtei saris. That's different than the other terutzim. The other terutzim said, shtei saris don't count during the year of 11. Therefore, they had to say that the giving birth itself is a way of becoming a gdaila without shtei saris. Rav Zvid says no. There's only one way to become a gdaila, and that is to develop shtei saris. But if she has gave birth, that means she developed shtei saris. And Rav Zvid is of the opinion that shtei saris before 12 make her a gdaila. Ein banim b'loy simanim. You cannot have a child unless you have shtei saris. Zok Rashi. Ein banim b'loy simanim. Vayoledes bekatnos. Any girl that gives birth in the 12th year, chazoka aviyah simanim. You can assume she had simanim. Obeshaviyah simanim, but take you basically to mine. And once she brought simanim, she loses the ability to do mian, right? We don't hold like Rabbi Yehuda. The hadi simanim gemurim ninu. They are complete simanim. The sphere of Rabbi Zvid, take ziman kalachar ziman. During that year is like after the year. Then you simon. Lamina shumanin, we don't say it's a wart. We say these are real simanim. A girl who develops simanim during her 12th year, meaning when she's 11, right before she turned 12, during her 12th year, is a gdaila. And therefore, giving birth is an indication that she had shtei saris. So Rav Zvid does not agree that the child itself is a sign of, is a way she becomes a gdaila. The child is a way of indicating to us that this girl has the simanim that make her a gdaila. If that's the case, so check her to see if she has shtei saris or not. Check her to see if she has shtei saris. If she has shtei saris, she's a gdaila.
Why don't you check her? Why are you assuming that she must have had Shnei Zaharas? Now the Gemara Chashin Hashem and Nashrum. We're always afraid they might have fallen off. Meaning, having a baby is an indicator she had Shnei Zaharas. We don't find it now, it fell off. That's a machlokes of Masechtas Nida. Are we afraid that a girl can develop Shnei Zaharas and lose them? There's a Madama that says we're not afraid of that. Michael and Amar. So check her. If she has Shnei Zaharas, she's a gdail. If she doesn't, she's not. You're telling me babies are not a sign of maturity. They're just an indicator that she had two Zaharas. Well, if she doesn't have it, she doesn't have it. So the Gemara, even according to the Madama that says you're not chayshish, but when it comes to the tsar of giving birth, that can cause the hairs to fall off, and therefore checking her now wouldn't mean anything, and we assume that if she had a baby, she must have had Shnei Zaharas. Rashi, Hanichel the Madama, put to prepare Gai to Daifen, it's a machlokes in the fifth parak of Masechtas Nida. Okay. Next part of the Mishnah. Ketzet Paikris Tereseyan. Now, the Gemara here is going to be a repeat of the Gemara that we had back on Gimel Amud Beis, but the Gemara is now saying it on the Mishnah of Ketzet Paikris Tereseyan. Menohani Mili. How do I know that a Tzara, Tzara, meaning, how do I know that a Tzara, Tzara is Aser? Meaning, Tzara, we learn out from the word Litzrar. Where do we know Tzara, Tzara? Which means, Reuven died, and he's married to Shimon's Erva. So Shimon has no mitzvah of Yibum, not to the Erva, not to the infected Tzara. Levi went and did Yibum to that Tzara, because to him it wasn't an Erva. Now Levi died without children. So we say Shimon can't marry neither of Levi's wives, not the original Tzara, and not her Tzara, which is Tzara, Tzara. Where do we see that Tzara, Tzara is Aser? Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar called Litzrayer. That's what we had back in Gimel and Beis. Litzrayer. Could have said Lotzor. It said Litzrayer to tell me Hatayra rips the Tzara's Abbas, that it can continue. That the Tzara's Aser, and the Tzara's Tzara's Aser, and so on and so forth. So that's what Rav Yehuda says, which is what we had on Gimel and Beis. Rav Ashi Amar Svari. Rav Ashi says it's a Svara. Tzara Maitai Masira, the Mimakim Erva Kaima. Why is Tzara's Erva Aser? Because since you can't do Yibum to the Erva, the Tzara is infected and becomes a brother's wife without a mitzvah. So she becomes an Erva. And if she becomes an Erva, Tzara's Tzara Nami B'makam Erva Kaima. So she infects her Tzara as well. What happened is, can I just finish this? What happens is, when Reuven dies, Shimon can't do Yibum to the Erva. And we learned out from Lotzer that he can't do Yibum to the Tzara's Erva, right? Because once he can't do Yibum, that means it's a brother's wife that is prohibited to him. So now she becomes an Erva. So when she marries Levi, right, she's still an Erva to Shimon. And therefore, she infects her Tzara as well. So I don't need the extra Reish. I can do this logically. Because once the Tzara turns into an Erva, she infects her Tzara as well. Rashi Menani Mili the Tzara Sarasa Batura. Yes, yeah, somebody had a question.
I understand why did Tzara get infected and
considered an error. Okay, let's second. Okay, Reuven died, right? One of his wives is Shimon's daughter, okay? So Shimon can't do Yibum to Reuven's, to his daughter, right? She's an Erva. And we learned out from a Pasuk that since he can't do Yibum to the Erva, he can't do Yibum to the co-wife either, correct? That's Tzara's Erva.
Right.
Okay. Now, once he can't do Yibum to the Tzara's Erva, that means she's an Erva to him. She's his brother's wife without the mitzvah of Yibum. So now she is a Erva called Eishes Ach, and there's no mitzvah. Meaning, it's an Eishes Ach that there's no mitzvah. So to him, as far as Shimon's concerned, it's as if Reuven had children. He didn't have children, but that woman is as ushered to him now as if Reuven would have had children. If Reuven would have had children, Shimon wouldn't be able to marry any of his wives. But once the Erev is there, the other woman becomes infected, and she becomes as if she's an Eishes Ach, that there's no mitzvah of Yibum. She is Erva. If Shimon were to marry her, he's either Kuris. It's his brother's wife with no mitzvah.
That means this woman has now turned into an erva to him. An erva of a brother's wife. Now, this woman had Yibum from Levi, which is perfectly legal. Right? But to Shimon, she's his brother's wife that was an erva to him. Because he had the possibility of Yibum, which was taken away from him. So now when Levi dies, this is a erva, because she was already an erva, and now infects her co-wife as a tzara's erva. Because this tzara, original tzara, turned into an erva, because she was a brother's wife without the mitzvah of Yibum. And whenever you have a brother's wife without the mitzvah of Yibum, she becomes an eshes ach without a mitzvah, which means she's an erva. Now she marries Levi, but that title erva still remains on her, because Shimon had no possibility of doing Yibum to her at that point, which made her into an erva. Now, she's married to Levi, but she's still Shimon's erva. And when Levi dies, he can't do Yibum to her, she's his erva. So she infects her co-wife as well, who becomes the tzara's erva. I hope I explained myself.
Rebbe?
Yes?
If she would go, and the tzara's erva, if she would go and marry now a Nachri, a third party, okay? And they got divorced. Can she marry Shimon?
No, she's his brother's wife.
So no matter what the situation is, she can never, even if it's she married a Nachri in between.
Doesn't make a difference. She was Shimon's brother's wife without a mitzvah of Yibum, and therefore remains permanently usher to Shimon.
Okay, so permanently.
Right.
So he's saying that mitzvah, once you have that, and there's no reason to think it's not anything different than any erva.
Right, so the first month, I needed an extra resh. Ravashi is saying, I don't need an extra resh. The very fact that the Torah banned her made her into a regular erva, which now affects the tzara. Like, Ketzer and Mesum. Sure.
I'm not sure. If the tzara got divorced, if she's no longer tzara to the wife, is she still usher to the brother?
Again. Reuven is married to two wives, right?
Right, and one was in the, right.
And he divorced,
he married.
Forget about it, and he divorced, what? Forget it, there's no erva, I don't care. Reuven is married to two wives, and he divorced one of them, right? Is that your case?
Right.
She is permanently banned from marrying Shimon, it's his brother's wife. There's no mitzvah Yibum. One of the Arabists in the Torah is marrying a brother's wife. Right? There's a heter for Yibum. No Yibum, she remains usher for the rest of her life. Reuven's married to a woman, divorces her. Shimon can never marry her. Ever.
Right.
It's his brother's wife.
Yeah, right. Not anymore.
It doesn't make a difference. The only two Arabists that get removed are Ashes Ish, which once she's no longer married, she's not an Ashes Ish, and a wife's sister, where the Torah revealed that the death of the wife would permit her sister. No other Erva is ever removed. Reuven's son marries a woman, and his son divorces her. It's still his daughter-in-law. It will always be his daughter-in-law. She won't get invited to the bar mitzvahs or to the chasanas, but she is an usher for a daughter-in-law. Once a daughter-in-law, always a daughter-in-law. Once a brother's wife, always a brother's wife. There's only two relationships that can become permissible after they were usher. And that is Eishes Ish, a woman that's married to another man. When the marriage is over, she's permitted to another man. And Achais Isha, because the Torah said Bechayeha. And Yibum. But if you don't take Yibum into account, no erva ever becomes permissible. Never. Any erva. I'm sorry?
Chais Ish
is a wife's sister. There the Torah revealed that if the wife were to pass away, he can marry her sister. There, it's a special Gzeres HaKasav. No other erva goes off. Once an erva, always an erva. Daughter-in-law, anything. Eches Aviv. Father marries a woman. He divorces her. The son can't marry her. She's no longer his father's wife, but she once was his father's wife. No erva goes off except Eches Ish and Achos Isha, wife's sister, where the Torah revealed only Bechayeha, and Yibum. Yibum takes away erva of Eches Ach. But only because of the mitzvah of Yibum. No Yibum, then she's a permanently Aser Eches Ach. That's the halacha. Okay, now the Mishnah said, now this is the point we're going to go in. Reuven married two wives. One was an erva, one was not an erva. The Mishnah said, if he divorces the erva and then dies, Shimon can do Yibum to the other wife. Because we look at the time of death. At the time of death, this woman was not a Tzaras erva. Right? Reuven got married in 2010. He married two wives, Shimon's daughter and another wife. In 2015, he divorced Shimon's daughter. In 2016, he died. At the time of his death, he's only married to one woman and is not an erva. The Mishnah says, Reuven has a mitzvah of Yibum to that woman. Now that woman was a Tzaras erva. For 5 years, she was a Tzaras erva. She was a co-wife of Reuven's erva. But we don't care. We look at the time of death. At the time of Reuven's death, was she a Tzaras erva? Was she not a Tzaras erva to Shimon? If at the time of Reuven's death, she's no longer a Tzaras erva because Reuven had divorced Shimon's daughter, then Shimon can do Yibam. That's what the Mishnah said. That means the Mishnah is not interested in the history. The Mishnah is looking at one point. When Reuven dies, is there Tzaras erva here or not? If yes, she's Aser. If not, she's Mutter. Even though she was a Tzaras erva for a number of years, that doesn't concern us. Zakta Gemara, Vafilu Konas Ulu B'Sayim Girish. Even though he was married to both of them and then divorced her, and she was a Tzaras erva at a certain point, we're not concerned with that. We're only concerned with what the status was at the time that Reuven died. Right. Zakt Rashi. Nisgarshu Tereseyem Mutaris. V'afilu Konas Achiv Esanachris. Even if the brother married the second wife, Ulubisayv Girish is Bas Achiv, then divorced his brother's daughter. Right. So Reuven married a second wife and then divorced Shimon's daughter. The Havalu Tsarazulazu Kaidim Gerishin. They were co-wives before Reuven decided to divorce Shimon's daughter. Afiluhachi Kasharina Leili Yevumi. Still, Shimon does Yibum to the other wife. Kediktariu Mesa Bita Ainis Garsha. Hayulu Bishas Nefila. Since at the point when Reuven dies and they fall Yibum, they have a Tzara Zulazu. At that point, she's not a Tzara Zerva. That's what our Mishnah said. That means, according to our Mishnah, we don't care that they spend time as co-wives. We look at the moment of death. Is this woman a co-wife of an Erva or not? If at the moment of death she's not, so then she becomes, the other woman has Yibum. She's not a Tzara Zerva. We don't care what her history was. So the Gemara Riminu, I have a contradiction. The Mishnah in the third parak says, Gimu Achim, three brothers, Shnayim Mehem Nesuim Beis Achyas. Two of them married to two sisters. Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Two of them married two sisters. Reuven and Shimon married two sisters. The Echad Nasi Nachas. And one, Levi, married an unrelated woman. Girish Echad Mibali Achyas Ishtai. Let's say Reuven divorced his wife. Right? So they have Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, all happily married for a little bit. Reuven and Shimon are married to sisters, and Levi is married to a non-sister. Reuven divorces one of the sisters. This is what the Mishnah says. Umeis hanasli nachris. And then Levi died without children. The kunz hamigarish, and Reuven did Yibum. There was no reason Reuven couldn't do Yibum. Levi's wife was not an erva to him. Levi died. He did Yibum to Levi's wife. And by the time he did Yibum to Levi's wife, he was no longer married to Shimon's wife's sister. He had divorced her prior to doing Yibum to Levi's wife. That's what the Mishnah says. So the Mishnah, Zui Sha'amru Shemesu, and his guy should say Mutaris. Then, if Reuven were to die, Shimon can do Yibum to Reuven's wife, even though she was married to Reuven, who had once been married to Shimon's, to Shimon's wife's sister. It doesn't make a difference, because by the time Reuven married Levi's wife, Reuven was no longer married to Shimon's wife's sister. So that Mishnah says, we look at history. Were they ever tsarist to each other? The only time Shimon can do Yibum to Reuven's wife is only if Reuven's wife was never a tsarist erva. Again, the Mishnah there set it up as follows. Reuven and Shimon married to two sisters. Levi married to a stranger. Reuven divorces his wife first. Then Levi dies. Reuven does leave him to Levi's wife. Then Reuven dies. Shimon can do it because that woman is not a tsarist erva. She never was a co-wife of Shimon's erva. The Mishnah there indicates that had Reuven done Yibum to Levi's wife while he was married to his first wife, they would have been tsarist erva for a little while, that even if Reuven would have divorced his erva, the erva, first, she would still be a tsarist erva. The Mishnah there indicates that we don't look at the time of death, we look at the history. Was this woman ever a tsarist erva? Because the Mishnah sets up the case that Reuven pre-divorced the erva before he did Yibum to Levi's wife. That means that he done Yibum to Levi's wife before he divorced the erva to Shimon, he would have been a tsarist erva even if he divorces that erva later. Look at the Mishnah. It says, Zui Sha'amru Shemesu Nizgarish Tzirasei Mutaris. That's when we say that it's mutter. Time of the girish v'achach kanas. Only because divorced her, and then he did Yibum. Abu kanas v'achach girish. But what if he would have been married to the two wives at the same time, and then divorced the erva? Loi. It would not be mutter. That means that Mishnah in the third parrot seems to say, Tzaris erva is not only at the time of death. Tzaris erva is the history. Was this woman ever a Tzaris erva? If she was, even though Reuven got rid of the erva, doesn't make a difference. Still, Shimon can't do Yibum because this woman was once a tsaris erva. That means that Mishnah argues in our Mishnah, seemingly. Because our Mishnah says, I don't care. Even if the divorce took place after they were co-wives, at the time of death, she's not a tsaris erva. That Mishnah says, we don't look at the time of the death, we look at the whole history of the marriage. Because the Mishnah sets up the case that he divorced the erva prior to marrying the second wife. Mashma, if he would have married the second wife before he divorced the erva, she would have become a tsaris erva. So it's a contradiction. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah Tavra. You're right. It's a stira. It's a question. Mishashanazu, Lashanazu. It's an argument. You're 100% right. It's an argument. One Tana says we look at the point of death, and one Tana says we look at the history. Rashi. V'kantza megara shumes. V'nofla nachris of ne'ashlishi. And the strange lady fell in front of the third one. And was married, right, to the sister of the wife of the first one. They never were co-wives. He divorced the erva prior to marrying the second wife. And our Mishnah said, we don't care that they were co-wives for a while. What we look is at the time of death. Tavra Kashan Adadi. They are contradictory. And as the Gemara, back to the Gemara. Hai Tana Savra Misa Mapelas. The Hai Tana Savra Nisuma Rishayna Mapilim. Our Tana holds, we look at the moment of death. And that moment, Tana says, we look from the beginning of the marriage of the brother. Was she ever a Tzaris Erva? Rashi, Hai Tana de Masis and Sever Misa Sabal Mapelis Lashul Yibum. We look at the death. Given the Bishas Misa Lav Tzara Sabasi, since at the time of death she's not the Tzara, Sharia. The Tana de Brisa Sava Nisur Marishainam Chisha Nisus Labaila. The beginning of the marriage, when she got married, Mapila Nois Leibum. At that point, she becomes, quote unquote, possibly eligible to Yibum. And therefore, if she becomes a Tsores Erva any time during the marriage, Asuro Elamas, it removes the possibility of Yibum, and the Tsores Erva becomes Asur forever. So it's a Machoika Senoim. That's what the Rabbi Yirmiya says. Do we look at the history? Or do we not look at the history? We'll continue Meir Tshem tomorrow. Tomorrow, Meir Tshem, we go 6 to 6:40. Meir Tshem, have a wonderful day.